Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth bringing you quality hunting clothing and packs at a price you deserve. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. And Huntworth right now has a preseason sale going on. You can save 30% off with promo code PRE30, P-R-E-30. And if I was going to recommend something, I would tell you this would be an excellent time to pick up their Shelton hoodie. It's a mid-weight grid fleece hunting hoodie. Comes in Disruption and the Tarnin pattern that I like so much. And grid fleece, half zip. It's got the kangaroo pocket. And then it's got an additional zippered pocket. It's got the built-in face mask. Really great piece of gear. And an excellent time to pick it up for 30% off. Definitely recommend that. Along with... the Holton setup that they're giving away for our Patreon giveaway. That's also a great set. That's more of a later season. It's not their warmest, but it's right up there, sharp aligned. That's some great stuff too. Super happy that they're giving that away for the Patreon giveaway. And we do quarterly giveaways from our sponsors. We don't work with anybody that won't, kick in and give back to everybody that supports the show. And so that's what Huntworth is giving away. This podcast was sat down with Johnny Stewart and Lane Hausner. So Johnny, I've heard nothing but great things about Johnny. And, from Bill from Spartan Forge, they were down there with Spartan Forge. Greg Litzinger hunts with Johnny. Just heard all this great stuff about how he helps guys out, about how much time he spends in the woods. I've listened to some podcasts with him, got to meet him down at the Mobile Hunting Expo, and then, sat down and did a podcast, and, just a great stand-up guy. You hear stuff about guys, being good dudes and whatnot. And this is a great one. So, big shout out to Johnny Stewart, and thanks for sitting down with us. Spartan Forge is, this predictive deer movement app. But I feel like I do it a disservice because I'm just blown away by the mapping. There's a lot of great things coming out. I got to get Bill on the podcast here. I had him scheduled and just didn't work out. But there's some great things. I won't do it justice. But for landowners, for getting permission on properties, for hunting in groups, lots of different things that are coming. But, as we get into the season, finding out where these deer should be, whether they're in their core area, where they're going to be, if they're in their full range, where, they're moving across the countryside, kind of where you can start to target them. Great stuff. And Bill says it doesn't tell you what stand to hunt at. It doesn't tell you where the deer is going to be. It just gives you a better idea of where you can look. It doesn't replace boots on the ground scouting. And Johnny talks a lot about, knowing your areas and knowing the deer and then using Spartan Forge to supplement that. But the mapping and the leaf off, you can get a lot of information and the great the imagery that comes along with the Spartan Forge is just incredible. So check that out at spartanforge.ai, and you can use code BOWHUNTER to save 25%, but they give away a one-year membership to our Patreons as well as Lucky Buck. So my buddy from Missouri is sending me pictures of these just massive deer hitting the Lucky Buck down there in Missouri. The stuff that Frank's got down in Ohio, getting some big buck pictures down there too. Great stuff. Lucky Buck, they gave us some of this stuff, and that's how we're getting those pictures. But they give away one of their either a tub of their Lucky Buck or some of their clover seed for that Patreon giveaway. Zinger, so the guys from Zinger Fletchings, they're going to be at Austin's saddle tune-up event this weekend, the 20th. So check them out, and they'll have the zingers there, their compression fit fletchings. And I've been shooting them for the last 2 years. Working great for me. Great guys. I can't say that enough. Just some great dudes. And they give away that for Patreon as well. So any of you guys who are interested in getting involved in that or supporting the show in any way, you know, it's like 17 cents a day to help us out, and really do appreciate it. The Vitals Live, we got a Vitals Live coming up beginning of next week with Joe Miles to talk about some early season, some of the gear testing that he's been doing. He just put down a crazy big 6-point buck. And you think, oh yeah, 6-point buck, but this, you go to his Instagram and check it out. Really great buck, but you know, all of our Patreons get access to the Vitals Live as well. And, ad free, there's an ad free feed. So if you're not liking the ads that are coming up, you know, all of our Patreons get the option to, they get a different feed. They just subscribe to that, and it comes through without any ads, without any of the stoppages as you go through the podcast. So something to check out. You can check that out at patreon.com/Bowhunter Chronicles Podcast. But this podcast is one we did down there at the Mobile Hunters Expo live. You know, there's a little bit of background noise. Did everything I could to get rid of it. But I don't think it takes away from the conversation. Great dude. And, you know, we appreciate all the support, but the best thing you can do for us is tell us how we can get better, reach out to us, let us know what we can do better. Along with that, tell somebody else about the show. And as always, thanks for listening. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Bow Hunter Chronicles podcast. Sit down here in a pretty nice area in Ohio, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Mobile Hunters Expo with the Johnny Stewart and Lane Hausner. Gonna do a little podcast in here. So like, what are you guys doing down here, like for the Mobile Hunters Expo? Do you guys come down here to check it out, or you're here supporting somebody?
Yeah, Bill with Spartan Forge asked us, or you know, if we wanted to come down. I said, hell yeah. So we're down here with Spartan Forge trying to get his name out, and I'm sure as everybody knows, because you've had Bill on in a podcast. But yeah, it's you know, mapping and predictions and stuff like that, veteran-owned business. And, you know, Bill puts all his money back into it. And I use the app, and we're trying to get our name out there. And I love it. And, yeah, he's hard working. That's what I like about Bill. And so, yeah, we're down here with Spartan Forge and just hanging out, checking out, you know, a lot of saddles is what's here. Yeah. You know, I'm not much of a saddle hunter. Not yet. Lane, he's like, why don't you try one? I'm like, nope.
I was trying to get him in all day yesterday.
I said, I got about a month or so before I'm hunting, it's like shifting in a different gear. I'm not ready. You know what I mean? I'm not ready for that, but maybe next year I'll try it out.
Yeah, wow. It's all what you like, man. You know what I mean? You're good with that climber, so.
Yeah, I got an old school climber, Lone Wolf.
So, like, we'll get into, like, a little bit of introduction. So, like, Lane, like, what's your story, man? Like, around here, like, the guys that we're talking to, you know, are like, oh man, Lane, he's one of the next up and comers. Like he's gonna be the next guy that you hear about. You know, so I mean, for you to be, you know, put on by like Spartan Forge, or you're like, you're down here like with Johnny, like that says a lot, I think.
Yeah.
So like, what's your like hunting background? Like what, as far as like starting out and all that?
Yeah. So like, I didn't grow up in a family of hunters at all. No one hunts in my family. And in middle school, I met my buddy Alex. And his family's a big hunter, so they kind of like took me under their wing and started hunting. And I wasn't filming at first. And then in high school, I picked up a camera. I got like a DSLR and I filmed a doe kill. And I remember going back to Alex and being like, dude, this is actually kind of fun, man. I feel like we can kind of do this. So that's kind of how we started. It was, I think, 2017, 2016 is when I like first actually picked up a DSLR and filmed like the first kill. You know what I mean? And then after that, it was just growing and just trying different stuff. And yeah, it worked out. I did an internship for the Untamed, so that really, you know, really helped my filming too. But
from the hunting side, like what if, I guess it would be like Alex, like what was like their hunting style? And like, you know, so for me, Michigan is like, you know, go sit on this stump that we sat on for 100 years and throw your bait pile out there. We'll go out there with some corn and some carrots and,
yeah,
you know, no, sit there.
They hunted Ohio, but his dad was actually part of this hunt club. His dad got sick here recently, so he dropped out. But yeah, like, you know, they weren't baiting or anything. They were just basically being a mobile hunter and just bouncing around, you know, hunting hunt sign, like that kind of stuff. And that's kind of how I got my start with it too. So.
And so just because, I mean, I don't know, what'd you say, like 2017, like what's the age difference between you and new, like Johnny? And
so I'm 25, but I mean, I didn't start hunting in 2017. You know, I mean, I killed my first deer in like when I was 12, you know, like, but yeah.
I'm 43.
Yeah. So it's like a little bit of a, I mean, different, like mentorship or like, you know, like different,
yeah,
different eras.
He's helping me out.
No way, man. I'm learning a lot from you, Johnny.
Yeah.
That's cool being cool down to, with you, man.
Like I said before, like people that are passionate about hunting kind of like have the drive, like Lane and other guys, like Jake Bush and different people here. You know, it's, I could see me and them like when I was their age. Not saying I'm not passionate now, but I think I was way more driven when you're learning, at learning curve and trying to kill deer. And then I kind of got to the point where I've killed enough. And I do like seeing, it's cool to see other people like Bo and different guys that are just like, you know, just going after it, you know. And I feel like them are the people I want to be around. I don't want to, like, because that's who I can relate to. And it makes you a better hunter, being like, well, these guys are good. They're killing deer and they're on it. And it helps me be a better hunter too, you know, to push myself to be around people that are like me, you know? So yeah, it's good to hang out with, Lane and, guys like that. That are doing it, man. It's cool.
I appreciate that, buddy. Yeah, man. I mean, it's cool. Like pulling that trail cam yesterday with you. I mean, I don't know, we were in the woods for like what, an hour and a half, 2 hours, but it's still just cool. Like seeing it and like learning from you, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's kind of cool seeing how different people read the woods, you know, like, cause I didn't learn anything from my dad, you know? So it was all basically just what I picked up, you know? And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And it's a lot of what I learned was like a Tulane that was just on my own being, learning. I read it magazine articles and stuff when I was younger, and it just kind of took me the wrong direction with the deer I was hunting, where I was hunting. Cause there's different places in the country that these deer inhibit. And, you know, this guy's writing this magazine article, it's how he sees the woods in his area, and it didn't apply to me, and it kind of threw a monkey wrench into what I was doing, and it took me the wrong way. But it took me years to study from the deer and get away from that, and now I just kind of pay attention to deer and draw conclusions. It's not all black and white, and so yeah, it's been a long road to get to where I'm at, but and there's still and it. The more you learn, the more you don't know. So a lot of times I get in the woods, I'm like, well, maybe this is a good spot, I think. And because I don't know, it's not black and white, you know, that's the biggest thing. And when I try to talk to people or do podcasts, I don't try to give them that answer they're looking for. And I feel bad. It's like a kind of a roundabout way that I didn't actually hit the answer, you know, the answer to the question, because you can't sometimes because, you know, there's so many situations and variables out there that it's not. You know, like what Bill at Spartan Forge always say, like, I like listening to him because he studied the actual radio collar deer. This is what they actually did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you read some of them, if you see some of them studies, and there's no, like, I need to hunt right here. This is where I'm going to kill a deer. No, it's like, he might come through there, but he's also over here and he's also over there. So it's like, and that's what's great about hunting. There is no black and white answer, you know, and it's and just like being Lane, I didn't say this. I think this is a good spot. I would be here. I'd say this is that, but I need to get up there and check at next year. But knowing all you can about the forest or where you're hunting or the animal you're hunting is like number one. Know as much as you can before you go and hunt too. It might take years. It might take 3 or 4 years to learn that area. I mean, you could exhaust yourself maybe in one summer and or one spring and maybe have some to know the area, know where the deer are, know where the does are, know where the food's at, know where the bucks are. Know where the hunters are. That's a big part of it because they know where they're at. And I always look at it like I even said it like I like using analogies. It's like a prosecution lawyer. Like he knows someone killed somebody. He got to prove it. It happened. He exhausts himself finding every clue before he takes it to trial. It's not. It's like I feel like that's how my hunting is. It's not just like. And I don't hope about, like in life, I don't even hope that, I hope I'm going to kill a deer. Like when I was younger, I'd sit in a tree like, man, I hope it's big, like in my vision, in my head, you might just find some rubs in this big open woods. And like, and I hope he comes by. And like, I don't leave anything up to hopes anymore. It's like, know everything you can before you go out and hunt. And even hunting might be a portion, like getting in a tree might be you learning. Maybe you need to observe or something. But before, like, you got to get a game face on when you go in to kill. Like I said, like a lawyer, he's going to get everything, exhaust yourself, find every clue, everything you know, everything about it. And you don't hope that they're going to convict the guy. It's like, I know we did all we could. And if you don't get the deer, hey, we did all we could. You know what I mean? There's next year. That's a big thing, is know everything. And I always repeat my word, that word, no, no, no. Because that deer knows, be like that deer. He knows where the does are. He knows where the food's at. He knows where the hunters are. He knows, you know, and his life depends on when he's moving through the forest that he's going to not get killed by a predator. You know, they're out there. So like, do the same with your hunting. Know everything. If you're that type of hunter, I mean, there might be people that just want to go sit in the woods, get away for the weekend. That's cool. I've done that. I just want to be out, watch the leaves fall. And that's cool. But if you're really wanting to get on a good deer, know everything you can, exhaust yourself. And it's kind of like obsessive. You know, you sometimes get to that point. That's how I've done it. And that's a good thing about what's nice about hunting. Like the last few years, I did some scouting, didn't kill a lot of deer, but I would enjoy being around other people like Lane and people that are like learning and passionate about it, or and see them get deer or just be out there and fall, you know, because the older you get, time goes by and you only have so many falls and to hunt. You know, it's like, man, I only got so many ruts that I'm going to be able to climb these mountains and that. I mean, you're as old as you feel and that, but yeah, just being out there, whether it's just enjoying the, you know, the fall weather or you're really passionate about it. But hunting's just so, you know, cool, man. Just being out there and, you know, everybody's life is so busy with work and this and that and paying bills. Like, I feel like I'm a slave to the bills, slave to my business at home. And it's like, just getting out there is just like, it's cool. So, yeah, it's enough of that.
So, like, Lane, when he's talking about the trying to explain things and trying to see the woods and trying to know and trying to get out there and trying to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, for you, you know, you say, like, you killed your first deer when you're 12 or whatever. Yeah. Like, if we look at the last 10 years, you know, you're of the era of the social media and, like, where you're getting inundated with this new product, this new thing, and now you got to kill a 140. Everybody's killing a 140. This is like what the deal is. In that sort of climate, like when you were coming up, like where does a guy start to, I mean, how do you block that out and just go in the woods? And
I'm just hunting for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care. Like, yeah, I film stuff and it might seem like, oh, yeah, like, I want to, dude, I don't care at all. Like, it's just cool filming it. And, like, I just like watching it for myself. You know what I mean? Like, all the hunts I do, like, I can care less. You know, like, you know, if you like the video or not, like, dude, I'd like go back and watch them. It just brings me back in the moment. But, like, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, just block it. I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, I really, I don't know.
Because I think there's a lot of guys that listen to this, and there's a lot of guys that they get so caught up in the hype. Like the hype of like new products or new things, and they want the microwave version of like time in the woods. And so, you know, Johnny's saying you need to know everything. It might take 2 or 3 or 4 years to figure out this stuff. But I feel like with social media and, you know, all the podcasts, and I did a podcast saying like why podcasts are like the devil, you know, like why, you know, we're part of the problem because we're saying like, you know, these are all the guys that are just killing big bucks. We bring on guys that kill big bucks, that target big bucks. And we forget about the journey that got you there, you know? So like, you know, how do you go out and still have fun in a scenario where everybody it seems like
to kill big bucks? Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, dude, I kill a lot of deer. I don't really kill a lot of giants. You know what I mean? Like, I missed like two. I mean, they're probably over, you know, 125-inch, 130-inch bucks this year, which, I mean, dude, it like took out a piece of my heart. You know what I mean? Like, I think I lost like probably 10 years off my life on that one, man. Like, I got so eat up by it. But, like, I still get a kick out of shooting does. You know what I mean? Like, even like my Maryland buck, I mean, it was my first one on the ground, you know, and I was just like so freaking pumped. I mean, it just, I don't know. Anything where you like doing that in an adventure and like you're killing stuff, dude, just gets my heart pumping, you know? I mean, that's what I'm going after basically. So
I think that's how I used to, like, we talked, I said, I think by the time I was your age, I killed 100 deer, yeah. You know, like, cause where we lived, I shot doe. I loved it. Spikes, fours, sixes.
And yeah.
That's where I was. And I guess at some point I started, and that was awesome, you know, just going after individual deer. But, like Lane said, he does it for himself. That's what he enjoys doing. If you let all the social media and people that are doing this affect you, don't let that just like stay in your tunnel. This is what I like doing, and just going for that, you know, and then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to kill big bucks, you know what I mean? I'm still trying to find them, but like, dude, if a decent buck walks by or like a doe and I have a doe tag, oh, dude, I'm cranking it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, some but like are, you're doing it for your, you're doing it your way, not because people say, go,
yeah,
you got to kill big deer. And, you know, it's like, man, I'm going to whack something, but don't be influenced by that. Just be yourself. You know what I mean? You start getting, then you're not yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like Lane seems like he's pretty much himself. He does what he wants and this is what he likes doing. And that's what's going to make you succeed and be you besides be someone else. You know what I'm saying? That's a big thing. But yeah, it's cool killing shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
So let's go from like the, because I want to, you know, obviously I want to help people and say, okay, like, how can you be better? You know, yeah, you want to kill big bucks, but, you know, you kill whatever. So, like, you know, when you're looking at, like, a new property or when you're going out, like, is there features that you're like, oh, man, these are what I want? Okay. You know, you're looking for, you know, X. Like, I feel like everybody has something that really gets them going. You're like, oh, man, I love marshes. I love swamps. Like, I love, you know, fence rows or whatever. Like, for guys that are just trying to, you know, I guess find that deer that's going to get their heart pumping, whether it's a doe or that 4-point or whatever, you know, like when you're looking at a map and you're just like, okay, maybe they never hunted public or whatever, and they say, okay, I'm gonna start, you know, everybody talks about e-scouting, I'm gonna get the Spartan Forge, I'm gonna get on there and I'm gonna take a look, like, What gets your blood up, Johnny, when you look at a map? Like, you're like,
well, I think there's three things that I look for that help deer survive, especially if you're like hunting a buck, is like this topo, you know, for some rugged terrain. I feel like it kind of keeps people away, or some of these areas were kind of in Ohio. I know I see some maps where there's like the Crow's Foot, they call like 3 points and stuff like that, but some up and down rugged stuff that helps the deer survive. And then cover is the second big thing that I want to look for. A lot of this area is open. So terrain, cover, and something that's inaccessible for humans, whether it is that lake, swamp, marsh, or, you know, maybe it's just a mile long field and a deer can lay in the middle. You can see you coming, or, you know, I think them are the three things that I kind of pick out on e-scouting. Okay. There's some rugged land here. Or maybe a combination of the inaccessible. It's a 2-mile walk, like we hear. So I had to go 2 miles.
Yeah.
That, and then the inaccessible, the terrain, and the cover. You know, there's a lot of cover here. They're going to get away. They're able to. So they need to survive. But even if you're just not even like going after the bigger deer, I guess that's still something. If it's something accessible, I feel like everybody's going to be using that. So something that, them are the three things I kind of look for that helps, you know, and if there isn't the terrain, if there's just a bunch of cover, okay, they're going to survive.
Yeah.
But even areas that are open, just a lot of terrain, a lot of rugged, a lot of points, fingers, and up and down. And that's going to help them survive too. And it's going to, that's kind of teamed with like inaccessible, keeping hunters away. So them are the three things I kind of feel that I'd look for on a map e-scouting, and then I just kind of go from there. But I think the biggest thing is just overall is inaccessible for hunters, keeping, or then look where okay, so it has these things, but where's a hunter going to park and access if he's coming in, and just start from there.
Yeah, so, that's probably the biggest thing for me too, is access, 100%. You know, like anytime you get water in the way, I'm real big on using my kayak and, you know, just getting away from people. Or just, you know, finding those little pieces in PA that you can only access from a little bit and got to walk real far away in, you know what I mean? Like Johnny said, like real big elevation change, real habitat change, you know, big cuts, whatever.
So one of the questions that I get asked, and it's, you know, maybe hard to articulate, I guess, but when you're listening to a podcast, this is very two-dimensional thing, right? So you're just, you're listening and you're paying attention, but you're trying to work through it in your mind. What does cover look like on a map? You know, because you can see topo, you can see, okay, there's no roads. You can see that there's, you know, elevation change. Maybe there's a, that lake or swamp or whatever in the way. But, you know, for someone looking at a map on, you know, their phone or on the computer, what does cover look like?
I'd say maybe, I mean, you can kind of see the mature trees and you can kind of see the younger trees just because like the tops, you know, you can kind of see the defined where if it's in a forested area where the cut, you know, might be. And sometimes in the, you can't always judge, you know, you can judge the age somewhat of the cut, you know, maybe there are no trees and you can just kind of green or whatever. And with the UAV imagery that Spartan Forge has, you can, that really helps. You can really see if it's like a, if the trees are, have been cut, or if it's like a 20 or 30 year old. But I think even like a pine, like if there's a leaf off imagery, you could see the, kind of the pines. And, but mainly cuts, or maybe in like what Lane's used to, maybe like a like swamp, cattails, I guess you could. What's that look like on a map, Lane? I mean,
nastiness. Like, it all depends on where you're. For like up north, there's a couple pieces that's like up in that coal area. And I meant like the marshes, you got to like, it really won't pop up super well. You got to like go in and like actually change it and then it'll kind of pop up the marsh. You know what I mean? But yeah.
Yeah, like I say, like for, so for people listening, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm looking for cover. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for this. But then it's, they're like, well, what does it look like? You know, how do I do that? And so, you know, the best way that I say is I like, you know, just looking for some edge, because like if it yeah. looks more dense over here, like when you see like the different colors of terrain, you know, all kind of like coming together, and then, you know, when you zoom in and you see, okay, well, there's maybe some runways here, like, okay, well, that looks like it's really wet in there, so that's going to be swampier, so then we're going to have thicker stuff around the edges because there's water there, and like, you know, so then from there, like when you've got your good looking stuff on the map, like, you know, Johnny and I were talking yesterday about sign, you know, down here in Ohio, where, you know, I go in and I'm not finding like the big rubs that I see in Michigan. And, you know, everybody talks about all these big deer down here, and it's like, you know, I'm just not seeing the sign that I'm used to. But those deer don't maybe make that sign down here. It's just that, you know, different attitudes. You know, people say there's different deer have a different,
yeah,
you know, mentality or whatever. So, like, what do you think is, like, the biggest thing when you're looking at sign? You know, the podcast thing is like, oh, well, I just go in and I hunt the hot sign, and that's what it is. Yeah. But, like, what's that sign that, like, gets your blood up where you're like, okay, now I know maybe I'm in the game, or this is – and you'd already said, you know, I'm thinking that I'm in the game because, you know, this happened at some point, and I don't know if it's going to happen again, right?
I mean, down here I've seen areas that just small rubs, but I've always had – I'd had pictures of big bucks. So don't let rubs influence you that there's not a big deer there. That don't mean nothing. Big bucks rub small trees. But as far as scrapes, like the bigger, thicker branch, you know, like the size of your finger broke off, and the bigger the scrape, I feel like there's mature deer in the area. Mm-hmm. I feel like you get the immature 2-year-olds and even yearlings will scrape, just paw the ground, but they're not like totally know what's going on. I think the mature deer set the pace, and mature does, mature bucks will have them bigger scrapes, them heavier duty licking branches. It kind of tells me that there's a good deer in the area. And if you're hunting early season, I think if you're in bigger woods, mast, acorns, the sign I want to look for is like early season, like a white oak, you know, see where the deer are feeding the fresh shit. The big clumpy wet shit. I know Bill talked before about biologists saying that healthy deer kind of their shit clumps together, you know, and he said usually the bucks are pretty healthy because they're mature deer, they know what they need, and they're getting their nutrition, and they can kind of kick the rest of the deer out. So I do find that it's not something I write home, like it's like black and white again, if it's kind of clumpy and I feel like bigger. Usually, it's not always. I'm figuring it's a buck maybe feeding there. But yeah, early season, find where the deer feeding on them acorns, and like they actually use their nose to find those acorns. It's not like visual, and you see where the leaves are all milled up. And then even sometimes after a rain, if you go in and you can see the leaves turned up, this deer was here recently. You don't need a trail camera to see that. But I think mast is a big thing, and there's years that there is no mast, so it makes things a lot tougher. The deer densities can drop and even move. And then you just got to make the decision if you want to hang out or you want to chase and find some of that hotter sign. It's like in your head with, you know, where's your best angle to get at them deer, you know, because some of these public lands don't have the ag and stuff like that. It's just big hardwoods. And maybe you want to get near the brows, the cuts, you know, because that's where the food is. And then they all got to eat. So that might be something you want to focus on, see where they're browsing, nipping the tops off if there ain't no ag. But, no mast. But, I mean, early season, it's always cool to see a lot of acorns to me. Some people say, if the whole woods is acorn, you can't really funnel down where the deer are. But at least there's a lot more deer up there, you know. But I do, like this year, when I was scouting myself the other day, I found a patch of white oaks that I feel like there's some on the ground already, maybe from a windstorm and that. And it was just like a 100-yard stretch of white oaks. So I feel like if they do produce, which don't always produce, I feel like they're usually the first one to fall, and the deer like them the best. So I think like that's going to be a place I want to get to early, and then access comes into play. You know, there's places you find yourself in different situations where this is a good spot. I know the deer are going to be feeding here or bedding here, but I can't access it. So I always have enough spots in mind in case one doesn't find. Maybe I bump a deer or higher percentage spots, situations that I'm in. Like, I feel like, man, I can get in on this deer and there's white oaks right here and the wind's perfect, everything's perfect. But there's other times like there's a lot of deer in the area, maybe a lot of does, and the bucks kind of hang out in the nucleus in there and let them does kind of tell them the dangers around, or they got the thermals and they got the wind helping them out and they got cover, and it's like, man, I can't even get it. But don't throw that out, you know, just keep that. But I think having a few places in mind that you one way, maybe there ain't no deer there for whatever, the acorns ain't there. So I think what helped me over the years is just keep having spots marked on your, you know, your Spartan Forge, different places that, whether it's, you know, just a camera you're running, or there is mast there, or stand you could park, put on there, or scrape, and then you have all these areas, and then you know, if something ain't panning out here, and this was like this expo, mobile hunter is like a big thing now, but you could keep moving and finding that fresh sign, you know. So, I mean, I could just keep going on talking. I don't even know what the question was. You know what I mean? How do I know where I'm at? But
No, there's like a bunch of things in there, right? Like, one of the things, you know, you're talking about that clumpy deer shit, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of went into, like, in my head, like you talk about time in the woods and, like, you know, kind of like the experiences. And maybe I'll toss this over to Lane, but, like, I was scouting with a guy and, you know, we're trying to just find some deer for this Patreon hunt and just walking the two tracks, cutting these, you know, runways that go into this river bottom, right? Follow this one in there, didn't look too exciting, you know, but then, okay, we picked up some, you know, a little bit heavier sign, like a little bit heavier runway. I just walked in there and I was like, you kill a buck right here. Like, you know, you just feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And we walk like 10 steps and there's, you know, big, clumpy, wet, like from this morning poop, like right there. And it's just like that. I mean, like, how do you explain that, like, intuition, you know, and like going against your gut, you know, cause like maybe the sign tells you one thing, but then you're like, man, I know I need, cause we've all been there. Like, I need to be in that tree right there. And then you're like, oh, this one looks good. And then the deer walks right by the other tree and you're like, God damn it. Like,
yeah,
you know? So like for you,
yeah,
from like a younger age or like whatever, just coming up, like, I guess, like, how much time in the woods does it take to, like, get that gut feeling? Like, you get that?
Oh, yeah, I get that. You know, I'll walk in a spot, and I'm at, like, I'll just be like, oh, man. I'm, like, it's weird. It's like your gut's telling you something, and your mind's telling you something else, because your eyes are like, oh, well, I feel like I can kill a deer here, you know? But maybe you're not seeing sign or something, so you just, like, push a little bit deeper, and then, like, just nothing. You're like, oh, I got to go back there. I got to go back there, you know? Or, like, yeah, like, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just really gut, but, like, it's a lot of visual stuff, too. You know, you can get into an area, and, like, I don't know if you've ever done that, but have you ever, like, smelled deer? Like, mm-hmm. You can kind of just smell, and you're like, all right, there's deer in here. Like, I think I'm going to kill one right here. Like, that plays a huge factor for me, too. I mean, it's like using all your senses to do it.
But the thing is, like, for me, is, like, I always am like, how do other people, I mean, in having these conversations, like, what, that's, like, the ultimate of, like, what do I do? You know, like I'd imagine, like, Johnny and maybe you too, Lane, but, like, you guys are so confident that you've done it so many times. You're like, okay, I've felt this enough times, and I've messed it up enough times that I know that I got to listen to my gut. Mm-hmm. Or, like that. I think that's where, as hunters, like, because the deer always gets a say, and you never really actually know, like, where you're battling yourself or you're battling – you know, your self-confidence. You're always, like, second-guessing yourself. I think that's the best way. Is, like, for young guys that are learning, or for guys that haven't been out there, haven't done it enough times, like, you don't have that 100% confidence to just say, this is what it's going to be. Like, you're always – I feel like I'm always second-guessing myself. And, like, how do you, like, temper that?
I think it's something you always have in your head. Mm-hmm. When I go out, it's like, do I stay? Do I move forward? Do I go check another spot? And I think that's what it's great about hunting, that activates my brain. And I'm always thinking, like we talked about earlier, I don't know who I talked to, like when I go on a hunt, maybe it's out of state 10, 12 hours. I don't even turn the radio on. Because I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I got these 5 cameras or 8 cameras, going to check this. I only have 6 days. Should I go here? And it's just like, and that's what I love about it. You're always learning and thinking. And it is like, it's pretty crazy that you get into a spot like I should stay here, and then if the wind shifts, maybe I should move. So there's not really a right or wrong answer, because I feel like sometimes you could get down and move, and it might be the right thing, but you don't know what deer is going to walk through. It's just kind of like, we're like, I need to move, the wind went wrong, then here comes a deer walking through. And sometimes it's maybe your pessimism, like as a human by nature, it's like, no, this ain't good. You know, you're putting yourself down. But I think it's about believing. If you believe this is not just hunting or whatever in life, I believe this is the right thing to do. If you think that way, if you keep putting yourself down, then it's never going to work out. It's like, I moved and I believe this is the right thing. Even if you like went 80 yards and you see a deer walk by where you were in that tree, you can't let that bring you down. I believe this is the way to go. This is the way to move. Or like, people get so down when they miss a deer or I wound one. I'm like, go shoot another one. Stop it. I don't even want to hear that. You know, like, have that mind frame, that attitude. I believe this is the right thing to do. I'm going to move. So what? I moved. I bumped a deer. All right. You know, I'm going to make this move work. This is the right thing to do, you know, and don't. I mean, you're going to always have that in the back of your head, second guess, I should have did this. But if you live by that, it's going to kind of eat you alive, you know. And then there's times like I've shot deer, missed deer, went through a whole season. It was a terrible season. And it can get sometimes the best of you. And you're just like, I don't believe I'm ever going to kill a deer. I missed 4 this year. I couldn't even – everything was like a bad move, you know what I mean? And sometimes you need to just maybe go shoot some does and get that confidence. Like sometimes it's – and that's what hunting's a really mental thing, but just believe in what you're doing, and you believe it and you'll see it. You know, I'd like, that's my, what I say, like I believe it, so it's going to happen, you know. So yeah, you can always second guess yourself, because there is no, it's just like the deer, there's no black and white, like what you're hunting, what you're doing. There's not, this is where I have to be, I should have been here. Like, no, I don't want to hear that. I should have, I could have, I can't. No, just believe you made that move and this is the right thing. And like, I've done a lot of moving over the past few years, because I wasn't really worried about killing. But in that, you know, I bumped deer. I could have killed a deer if I sat here, but it wasn't really the deer I was after. But so I feel like my last 6-8 years, I did a lot of more moving, a lot more walking, but I wasn't worried about killing the deer. And now I feel like that that clump of years has put me in a place now where I know more. Like, so if I want to kill a deer, it was like a 6-8 year scouting period. I look like, okay, I'm waiting now. If I just sat in one spot and killed deer and was out of the woods, then I wouldn't have learned and grew. So even though I might have bumped deer and did this in the past, it's like, look what I achieved. I believe this was the right thing to do. But if you believe it, then I think that's the bottom line, and you'll see it happen. Yeah. You know, you make it be the right move, you know?
So when I'm just thinking of like the devil's advocate for the guy that's listening and say, well, it's easy for him to be confident because, you know, he's done this all the time and he's got all these spots and he's, you know, put himself in the position now to like, that's the deal. But at the end of the day, like there had to have been a moment where you were like, or maybe not. I mean, have you always been that way? Or was there a point where you're like, I got to get out of my own head. Like, I just have to believe that I'm going to do this. And then it clicked for you.
I think for the most part, I was always like that, or being around other people that are optimistic and successful in what they do helps. And that's who you're going to be. But it does get into your head like this was wrong. And I don't know, you just got to talk yourself out of it, you know, even like fake it till you make it type deal. Like maybe it was wrong, but if you believe it was right at some point, if you really believe that, then it's going to work out. You know what I mean? But and you're going to make – I make mistakes. And even when I go out in the woods with Lane or other people, I ask them. I said, what do you think? I took my fiance once hunting, or I don't know. What do you think? Should we go sit down here? She's like, look at me like, you're the big deer hunter. I said, I don't know. Maybe there's a creek down there. Maybe you think the deer's thirsty. It's hot out. Maybe we should go sit down there, because there is no – a deer doesn't always get up and it's not like food to bed, get on a trail between there. Like I feel like a deer doesn't always have a destination in mind. He just, you know, has to move, get up, and it's just while he's moving, he's browsing. Hey, I'm thirsty. I'm going to get a drink of water. He's just like, ah, you know, I've been laying a lot all day. I'm just going to get up and move. It's not like, where is he going? You know, and like even with Bill's dad, it's not like there's not a definitive place. Like it's, I relate to my analogy is like if you go on a Sunday drive, hey, let's take a ride. Where are you going? I don't know. And it's like, oh, there's John. He's going down the road. He must be going hunting. No, it's Sunday. He's right. Where's he going? And you stop and, you know, ask me, where are you going? John, I don't know. I'm just taking a ride. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I have a destination. Some of these deer, like I even ask people, like novice and inexperienced, what do you think? Like, you know, if you study the animal a little bit, you know, he's food, water, shelter, you know, cover, whatever it might be. And breeding comes into play. Look at it your way, and maybe I can learn something from you. That's why I like talking to people that and asking them, and I might pull something away from someone that maybe is new as a hunter, you know. So that's what's great about it. Like I said, it's always a learning curve, you know, and there's no really wrong answer. Hey, I believe I should move. Well, okay, well, let's move. You know, what do you think? So that's what's cool about hunting.
Yeah. It's all just trial and error, you know what I mean? Like you said, like about the whole moving thing, like trusting your gut. I mean, a lot of times I go in the spot and I'm like, all right, I'll go to this tree, and you go in and it's like, oh, my God's telling me to go over here a little bit more, you know, or like say you see a deer like a little bit, you know, just, I don't know, just being able to move and just, yeah.
And sometimes patience, sometimes I lose my patience, but I want to know more. I'm in, like in my brain, I want to know more, but I have so many years of knowing, like a KNOW, like no. I feel like now I can be more patient that I did make them moves earlier in the last few years. But then I got to know, like, okay, now I know, because I don't want to leave my hunt up to, like, I hope it's deer. Like, I know when I was younger, I would just, like, close my eyes when the leaves, like, the sun set and you're in your tree stand and just, like, close your eyes and is that a deer walking? I got to hear a deer. It's got to be, please, come on, deer, please come in. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I hunted.
I've done that. I mean, I've, like
I've times fake. Come on, I just want to hear one walking, you know, like, I'm hoping one comes and it's like, not that you won't still do that now, but I want to put myself in a position where I know he's going to come through. It might not be today, but he's going to come through. But don't leave anything up to a hope. Like, man, I hope this deer comes here. Because their life depends on it. If you don't got the right situation for him to walk through, if the cover ain't right, just because you see big rubs out in the middle of the woods, oh, he's rubs, he's going to come by here. A lot of it's nocturnal, even scraping, you know, if it's a lot of pressure, older, mature deer there, and, you know, the wind ain't right, you know, it's their life. Just think about it as their life depends on it. And it's not like I'm just like, do-de-do, I'm going to walk through the middle of the woods like and check a scrape, and even though I might get shot at. You know what I mean? No, that ain't going to happen. You know, be like you, like a gauntlet, like running, like, yeah, I'm just going to walk through here and
You're just walking down the highway, like,
eh. I'm gonna walk, yeah, they get run over.
Like, so when you talk about like a deer being on a Sunday drive, right?
Yeah.
Like, how does that affect your like hunting style or like where you're targeting deer at? Because I think, you know, obviously, you know, Dan Infault's done a lot for the hunting community for putting out information on that. But then everybody is like, well, they're going to be bedding here. You know, Jake Bush, he's like, you know, they're, you know, he's hunting deer 50 yards from their bed, you know, and he's taking a lot from Dan. But we've got a lot of guys that are like, I don't know what a buck bed looks like, or maybe they think they do because they've watched a lot of videos, but they've never seen one in person or whatever. And then for you to say like, we're oversimplifying it, they don't just go from bed to food and food to bed. They're just, you know, just meandering through the woods. Like, how do you like take that into consideration when you're saying, okay, like, I don't even want to say like early season, they're probably pattern and rut, they're probably breeding, but like, so middle of the season when, you know, where guys are like struggling or whatever, like, how do you view that time of year for like setting up to target deer, you know?
Well, I know, like, talking bedding, I know, like, some of these areas that I hunt is rugged area. And then, you know, it depends on food and stuff like that. But I think some of them that might roam, you know, just lay down at random, you know. And it's another thing, like, just taking into consideration. Me and Adam talked, I said, being bill hunted last year in a big chunk of public, and the leaves were so thick and crunchy, we couldn't even... It was rugged and steep, and they could hear, there was no wind. You could hear miles away. So it's like a deer bed could bed anywhere up on a ridge. Now, if you take a day that's rainy and pouring, he might not lay on that ridge because maybe on that ridge he could hear and see. So what's the situation there, you know, whether it's rut or, you know, whatever. So if you get like a rainy day, I think maybe there's hunters in the area. He's going to drop down. And if it's pretty vast land, when you got a lot of similar terrain up and down and open, he might just drop down out of sight, usually maybe 100 feet out of the top, you know. And if you have an area that has a lot of food, it doesn't have to be one bedding area, you know what I mean? I think, you know, and then into the rut, I don't worry about beds because they're usually on a hoof looking for does. And like some beds, there's not always like you will find that bed to the deer, I feel like maybe more early season. I don't know. I've seen beds that are like a deer religiously hit. But you get into like when the leaves are falling, that's another thing. It covers up so much sign where this deer might have laid down on this ridge. And so it's like, you know, it's just like random spots they lay down. But I feel like in my mind, it's like hot spots. Like it's kind of where I feel like he could be here, you know, in around this area, living around this ridge or this point, you know. And then at night, I feel like it's just like, I could picture them, like, basically I picture them maps with a deer data, radio collar deer, and it's just like pings, spots here, in around a cluster here, then jump a little bit here and here. There's not one spot in the, like, the more rugged mountainous area, you know, and then there's places that in PA that I hunted are really flat and not much topo and a lot of coverage. Just kind of lay everywhere. There's, you know, so bedding is, like, a lot of places I don't know exactly. I can... It draw conclusions. A lot of it's drawing conclusions. If things are right in that scenario, if the wind's right, because a buck will usually bed. But like I said, if you take the situation where it's crunchy leaves, he could lay anywhere and just close his eyes and hear you coming from 400 yards. But usually down off the top a little bit, and you know, using the thermals, they really like that's a big thing, you know. Or you know, like I said, they'll bed in around maybe other deer and send them out and see what's going on. But I know there's not really any one area like bedding, like what Jake talks about early. I'm going to try to do more early season hunting to where they're bedding there because the food's right there. And you get in a situation where food's really localized and it's that time of year. You're getting in October, maybe acorns or maybe it's ag to where they're feeding there a lot. They're going to be bedding close, you know. And it's also like what Jake said is like no one's messed with them yet. You know what I mean? And they're still like lazy. They're close to that food, but yeah, it's all, I don't know. It's kind of getting out there and hiking and finding where the food is, and then you know. But the typical bed is 48 inches. They say a mature deer, you know, that just kind of tells me he's here. It's not often that I see a deer bed in my situations, I guess maybe just the areas I hunt, like religiously bed, he beds right here, beds right here, because it usually has the cover or the terrain, you know, to where it's not just that one spot, you know, he has a lot going on for him in that area. But you get into areas where, like I talk about seams or little pockets where these deer can live around humans and that, I feel like where they travel, I feel like you can catch beds, you know, and it's just like little nooks, you know, I find. But, you know, they're pretty mobile and they move around a lot. So, but yeah, like early season, I feel like you can catch them if there's a good mass, like white oaks and shit like that. I feel like you can catch know where he's bedding, you know, and then it's that off-season scouting that you say, okay, there's white oaks, I'm going to mark this on a map, or red oaks, you know, and you might find a faint bed from the year before if you just, you know, you can see a good ways and you feel like the food. I would just go to them oaks the following year, you know, and see if there's deer bedding there, see if there's beds there. You know, even if you bump him, you know, at least he's there. He has his escape routes. That's why he's living there. You know what I mean? And then you just work on him from there, you know. But, yeah, earlier season, they're lazy animals. You know, they're just worried about it. He's talking about, like, the October lull. I mean, I feel like at night they'll run out and scrape, but during the day they're close to their food source. You know, and they're laying around. You're like, this is the last, you know, before the rut. It's just like, just be lazy and eat. Just gorge myself as much as I can. And I think going forward here, I think a lot of the places I'm wanting to hunt is, if I do get time early in the season, I want to try to make the most of it. Like during the day, like I feel like even in an area that's browse, I want to try to hunt and all. Like I can see a buck, and with the data, the deer don't just, they're going to get up and feed. It might be 100 yards or 1 acre. I feel like there's food early season, because that's the time for them to fatten up. If you're going to hunt early season, if it's browse or acorns or mast or whatever, I feel like he's eating all day. You know, it might be like that's his bedroom, but if you can get on the fringe of that. But if it's there's like some areas in PA where I know like at night you're going to go up and scrape, check for does. But during the day, I feel like there's an area, I feel like the deer are hanging out. It's like 300 acres down in this vast piece of land. It's kind of thick, but and then he don't have to go down in the middle of that. He, you know, if he's want to getting up on his flat at night and check it, he's just going to get down in there. And I always would think back in the day that a deer, they're going way in the middle of that. And I would think that, okay, at night they're here, but during the day, say you got a big thicket or something, he's going way in the middle. They're usually on that edge. They're not going to waste their energy. They're lazy to go out in the middle and hide. And I would think that I would wait till snowfall, maybe a good rifle season when the pressure's on. He's in the middle of that. You get in the middle of like a big thicket or like slashing or whatever, they're not there out on the edge. Why would I go all the way to the middle? They can always escape to the middle. But that's one thing to be, they're lazy animals. They'll just, or by a road, they just get out of sight of road, out of road and lay there. And then maybe there's a big thicket that they can retreat to. I was always going back in the middle of that. They're hiding in the middle of that big, that's where they're at, in the middle of it. No one can get to them. I don't think that's the case after so many years. It's like they're on the edge and then they can retreat into that. Why am I going to waste my energy? And it's all about energy. And you ever watch a big deer like this, like early season, he's lazy boy, like an old steer, like an old bull, I mean, out in the field, you know, he's just lazy. He lays around all year. You know, that's what this animal does. But he gets up and feeds. I mean, for the most part, if you watch him, he's going to be laying all the time. But during the day, you know, if your season starts in October, where he's going to be, I could picture him every hour or two getting up, shitting, pissing, eating. Like, that's what he does. So there's a chance of getting a deer early on if you know he's going to do that, you know, just in around. But it might be a situation where he might go to oak. It's like so many scenarios of situation. It might be an area where he goes to an oak flat at night, maybe just browses on twigs. I've seen where they would starve during the day, but I think feel like in October, he's going to be, have stuff readily available, like snacks, you know, on your table. Like, I get a little snack here, snack there. I'm not getting the main course, but I got some chips here. He's going to, throughout the day, he's snacking on something. So if you can get near snacks, you know, maybe you can get a shot at him. But I think I'm going to try to make the most of my October hunt, where a lot of people would like they're crepuscular, where there's morning and evening. I think a lot of people will hunt them times, but I'm like, you know what? I know, from looking at that, I know these deer are going to be, these bucks are going to be feeding during the day, man. I got to find them snacks and get in close to them, you know? So
it's so funny you talk about that, like, thicket stuff, because, like, I've been in all them thickets, and then you get in there, and, like, and this would have been even, like, back when I had my climber, you know, on my back, and now I got this climber, and I'm in the middle of this thicket. There isn't a tree for, you know, a mile around me,
But I'm like, the deer are going to be in there. I'm going to find something that looks maybe tall enough. And I'm like, you get in there and you're like, I couldn't kill anything in here. Like, if I, you know, to save my life. Do you think that we're like, and I'm not saying that it's easy, but do you think that we're like overthinking it and making it too hard by thinking that these deer are like Zach from the Hunting Public, he tells me, like, he's like, they're just deer, man. Like, they're not rocket scientists. Like, they're just animals. And like, you can kill them, you know? Like, do you think we are overthinking it and making it like way too hard?
I think sometimes you put them up on a pedestal, like you can't reach them. They're up here. They're like, you know, but they really aren't. Like he said, they're just deer. They are intelligent. You can't, but if you can figure them out, but it's, if you make it simple, like, that's why I like using analogy. It was simple. Like, this is how it is. It's like, you know, try to simplify it as much as you can. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely killable. And I think they're so efficient, like these mature deer, and it's sometimes so easy to them. And that's why I really rely on hunters, you know, the pressure, like a lot of the deer on this public land is pressured. So, that helps me simplify where the deer are. And I know the guys are going to hit this oak flat ridge, and I'm like, you can just eliminate a lot of land. And then as far as these mature deer, they live by association, to where it's like, this flat had hunters on it. He might go half a mile away. He's going to be really cautious about using that flat, like during the day, because there's hunters on there or whatever it may be. So, and I find like they're usually close by. You know, if you find some rubbing and scraping, you know, they're usually not out of the, you know, they're just kind of taking a back seat. You know, they're there. But I also found a situation where like deer would kind of rub maybe more or less during the rut, you know, and they leave sign there because they aren't there. It's kind of like they're trying to claim an area, rubs and scrapes, and you might hunt that area, cameras. He's not there, but I think there are many situations you find yourself in to where he's just trying to, he can't be there. Maybe he's a couple different doe populations he's breeding, and he can't be there. So he's going to leave all this scent and all this sign, because so the other deer can kind of stay out. You know what I mean? It's almost like I'm here, but I'm not. Like sometimes I'm cautious when I see a lot of that sign. He's rubbing it because I put cameras. I'm really, why? Where's this deer at? You know what I mean? He's not saying he ain't going to come back to that. It might even be like a 1 week cycle to him. He might be gone and checking other does, but he's like, it's kind of like the writing's on the wall here. Oh, man, you know. So the other deer don't know exactly. They think he's there, you know, because all this sign's there, but he's not, you know. But you got to find what situation you're in. And there's other areas where I found, like you're talking about the thicket, like the edge up on a flat, you know, and it drops down to some thick, nasty shit and all the signs on that flat. But he might be just down in maybe 100 yards away just because, you know, that it's safe there. But they are lazy and really very efficient. And you just kind of learn how they, and that's why I always use hunting pressure to help me eliminate a lot of area, because I, you know, the ones that are surviving are doing the same things and just staying out of the limelight. You know, you see the does along the road and this and that, and he knows they're there, you know, but he's just in the background, you know. But yeah, they're just, you know, and they're just deer. But you can, like, we got, it's wild. I always say, like, man, if I'm putting all this gear on my back and all these maps and all this stuff, I said, if a deer seen what they're like, holy shit, I can't believe this. You guys are doing all this. You got maps and bows and tree stands and saddles and all this stuff, and you're scouting and putting all the mineral out and cameras, and they're like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are nuts, you know? And I'm just kind of like, just trying to get something to eat, you know? But, yeah, they're, And like the mature deer, the laziness, not laziness, just not moving as much really helps them survive, you know, staying put, not really, you know, and that's how you see them bigger deer. They keep retain their body weight and they don't run a lot, and they're minimalist, you know. They just sometimes as they get older, their range gets smaller. Sometimes a mature deer, I follow deer that were 4 years old and I catch them just like randomly everywhere, and they're still young and running around. But you get into the 5, 6, 7 year old, maybe they're just like, they know, they found out what works for them, and they're in that seam and they're right there. And sometimes it could be an easier deer to kill, you know, if you can get them figured out. And a lot of times they'll be in an area that they don't leave a lot of sign, you know. That's he might be where the does are, or the other deer kind of saying, I'm here. And then, the many instances I found deer, big mature, I seen him, and then I go, and there's no sign where he's living. Because it's just his own little hiding spot. He don't, you know, and it's kind of like out away from the rest of the crowd, you know, but he'll go rub and hang out with them maybe, or just, but he's there, like he's in the background, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's a cool thing, so.
And on that, like that, you know, you keep saying like the laziness stuff, and you keep saying like, the older deer, like their stuff starts to like parse down like a smaller and smaller and smaller to these areas. And you're saying like, you know, you pick up these deer on camera after the rut that have, you know, you can see their ribs and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
At the older ones, they're not doing that. They're not running themselves to death.
Yeah.
You know, so like they're being more efficient, and they're saying like, you know, if I want to survive, if I want to be 5 years old, 6 years old, like I can't do that every year.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, you know, me being from Michigan, like, you know, we're like 3.5 year old deer. Like it isn't like fours, five, sixes. That's like something where you're like, oh my gosh, like somebody killed the, you know, how did that deer ever make it? You know, with all these hunters, I'm sure PA's, you know, similar if you got outside of the mountains or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. It is a lot of areas I grew up in. It's just a lot of hunters, and the deer don't get past a year or two. 1 or 2 years old, but that goes back to, if you want to find that mature, but look for them three things: to something with a lot of cover, a lot of terrain accessible, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of where I gravitated to, because I wanted to find them bigger deer. You know, I've hunted the 2 year old yearlings, and they don't get the threes. Like I remember growing up, like he's 3 year old. Wow. Like 130. Like, that's a stud. What it was in that area, because, you know, there's a lot of roads, a lot of hunters, and they just can't get through to that older age class, you know. But, I mean, they're still fun to kill, right, Lane?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where do you see, like, the biggest, like, you know, when we talk, like, the deer you're targeting, like, these big deer, like, where is the year that they, like, you, like, okay, from, like, 3 to 4, they're usually, like, that's the big thing. Or, like, when you see one, you're like, oh, my God, that's got to be a 5-year-old. Like, because like, I think most guys, like, when people talk about like targeting an age class deer, like it's so hard. Like, you know, I grew up, it was like 4.6.8. Oh my God, that was a 10. You know, there was never score. There was never, you know, there was never like, oh, how old do you think he is? It was like, yeah, he's about a 20-inch 8, you know, like the, like that was it.
You
know,
you're
like
right.
Your spread, you know?
Yeah. He was like 16, 20, you know? Yeah.
So like, is there like, you know, cause when you see, you know, QDMA pictures or whatever, they're like, they track a deer and he's 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all the way through. And then he starts to go down, you know, they're like, and it's funny to me to watch people, you know, say like, oh yeah, he's on his way down now. And he's a 4 year old or something. It's like, how do you even like quantify that? Like when you're like, when you see a deer, like some of those deer last night were like, oh man, we got to give him another year. And we're like, what in the hell?
On video. Like, there's like, he needs another year.
Like, we're going, oh my God.
Yeah. He needs killed now. I think as far as aging deer, I know the one deer Bo killed up Martonic up where we hunt is he was 8.5 or 9.5. And the only reason I knew, Bo said, how old do you think he was? Because he got an age. I said, he's at least 7.5 because of the trail cam pictures I got. But you look at his body, he didn't look like an, and it was the biggest rack he had at 8.5 years old. You know, it's hard. Like in some of these deer in Ohio, I don't know. I feel like they're smaller body. Yeah, I think after they get to 3 to 4, you could lose track. I know sometimes they got a real gray snout or gray, you know, ears might be all chewed up from bugs or fighting and whatever. And I feel like maybe just looks old. But I mean, as far as saying, hey, he's 4, he's 6, I don't know. I mean, you can kind of judge a yearling, you know, a 2 year old, you know, even by maybe the size of the rack. You know what I mean? I would say, yeah, I guess he's about 2 year old. But you get to 3 or 4 or 5, it's, they're just like humans, you know what I mean? You got a big guy, you got a little guy. You know, the big guy's 30, the little guy's 45, you know, so how can you really break it down? I think they like the teeth is what they can really, and that's only wear, you know, it can be even like a gray area for that, you know, so I don't really, you know, and I think a lot of people know the age of deer just because of the trail cam pictures every year to know, you know, how old he is. But you look at him, you might, but, you know, if you got a big rag, we're going to shoot him, I think.
So, Lane, you're talking about that Maryland deer that you killed in the
Yeah, Sika deer.
Yeah. Well, you said you killed the one from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, like, I want to hear about a little bit about that because I want to know, like, how did you set up on this deer, like, target this deer, and, like, what made you be like, oh, I got to be on the ground
for
this?
Yeah, so we boated in there, and Jason actually dropped me. He's my buddy. Like, I hunt with him all the time. And he dropped me a pin. He's like, dude, I'd go here, get in a tree. He's like, a lot of times, like, real close to bedding. He's like, a lot of acorns are falling in there. He's like, usually it's pretty good. I was like, all right. So I got in there, and it's, like, that real, like, holly stuff. So, like, it's just, like, super limby and super thick. And I was like, I was getting eaten alive by skeeters too. And I was like, oh, I'm not setting up here, dude. I ain't going to be able, I'm going to see like 20 yards in front of me. And that's it. I was like, I got to be over here. So I got down, or I didn't even set up. I just walked over, found this little deadfall, and it was like kind of a triangle deadfall. So I sat in it. And as soon as I sat down, like, you know, I did my little interview or whatever. I looked over on the right, and here's a doe feeding. And it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, oh, sweet, man. So I kind of like shift over there. Facing her, I think she was at like 80 yards, and she's just feeding. I was like, I'm going to shoot her if she comes a little closer. And like, she kind of just feeds meanders, and all of a sudden I look over to my right, and here's three more does pile out, and I think like two fawns. And I was like, I had to be like a little over there if I was going to shoot them. You know what I mean? I had to be get like 20 more yards over there. So got down, or I, you know, basically just hunched over, crawled over there behind this deadfall, and peeked up, and I mean, I was going to shoot him, and also I saw a rat coming, and I was like, oh, dude, there's a buck. I'm going to shoot the buck instead. And he was coming. They were coming to the right of me, like, swinging, and that buck was coming, basically working that edge where I first saw that doe. So kind of hunched up again, got down this, behind this deadfall, and crawled over, like, I don't know, probably 15 yards, 10 yards. And, I mean, he walked right in my opening. Yeah, I shot him. But, yeah, I thought he was, like, perfectly broadside. He wasn't. He was a quarter two a little bit, and I hit him, like, a little far back. So I didn't have any blood or nothing. I had, like, guts on my arrow. So I backed out, and I brought in a dog tracker the next day and recovered him. But, yeah.
How far did he go?
100 yards. Cool. Yeah. He didn't go far at all. But there was just no blood at all. Like, just nothing, man. Like, I got to the arrow, and I mean, it's, like, yellow on it. And I walked to basically where I saw him go in this thick stuff at, and there was no – I didn't get any blood, nothing. And I was like, all right. I'm just going to back out, man. There's no sense pushing it, like, right now. You know, I mean, I had all day tomorrow, so just took my time and did that. But
so, like, John and I have been talking about this all weekend, like, going back and, like, replaying it in your head and, like, thinking about it. Like, so why were those deer there? Like, what was going on? Like, what time of year was it?
Oh, it was September. I think it was, like, September 18th, something like that. And yeah, that meant all it was just white oaks dropping in there. And they were just bedding all along. It was really thick, nasty. And yeah, that was just really close to their bedroom.
And it was just a point on a map, like next to bedding.
Yeah, and it was basically white. Like he sent me it, and there was like a little pond. So it kind of choked him down a little bit. It's like, you know what I mean? It's a floating piece, so it's really hard to access. And like, it's got, has a lot of water, you know? So kind of choked him down a little bit. But yep. I didn't have a good gut feeling. I moved over there a little bit and set up well. And I was like, all right, there was a nice little edge out there too, you know? And I was like, all right, I think a deer is going to come down through here. Sure enough, looked over, it was like 5 minutes. I looked over, like, oh my God, there's a doe. I was like, yes, I'm going to see deer tonight. You know what I mean? And then just started filing out. So
it's kind of like what you were saying. Like, if you believe it, he's like, oh, I'm going to see a deer, you know? Then
I mean, there's very few times that I've been in a tree that my instincts or intuitions, like,
yeah,
I know I'm gonna kill a deer. Like, I know, and I like hyperventilate because I know it was gonna happen. Like, I remember one time in Illinois, and I knew, and that time went so fast in a tree. I said, I know I'm killing a deer here. It was like, this is it. I don't know. You're just your intuition, instincts, everything, your experience comes together, just your feeling and your gut. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But there are a few times in my hunting career that was like, I'm just going to matter. And you just kind of sit on the edge of your seat and you wait, and then you kill a deer, you know? So I don't know.
Well, and that's the hard part for me to like be in a situation like this with guys that, you know, I got cameras out now too and stuff, but like, I feel like to build confidence is like, you have to go out there and do it. And I like to do it like in a new spot or whatever, where you go up there and it, when you see that first deer and you've never been in there before, like you don't have any trail cam pictures or whatever. And it's just validation. Like them deer, they do what you thought they were going to do, or they're like really close. And you're like, okay, all right. Like the like, I feel like that's like the monkey's off your back, you know, like you didn't do all this work and everything to just not see anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think like a lot of guys who haven't spent enough time in the woods, or they lack that confidence.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're afraid of, is that all, everything that they're going to do is going to be for nothing. And I think like, that's kind of like the way I've said it before, but like, you know, with our property in the UP, like I don't know anything about like habitat work or anything like that, but we're trying to do some stuff for the kids. And, but it's like, I would rather fail on public land, then drive 7 hours, put in a bunch of work on the tractor and all this stuff, and then still fail. You know, I would rather, you know, it's just like, I want to be learning and pushing and like basically like validating like what I'm doing. And I think that that's the hardest part of like building that confidence, is like, you know, all that second guessing and everything like that. But you know, I think when you get these trail cameras and you get all these big deer on there, like, you know, you're showing me some pictures of some crazy deer. Like if I went into a spot and like a Pope and Young deer walks by me and I never been in there, I don't have trail cameras, and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna kill this deer.
Yeah.
But if I had a 160 on camera or something, like in the dark, like, you know, not like nothing that tells me he's killable, just that he's there, you know, and be like, well, I can't kill this one. Yeah. You know, that's walking by me like easy. Because, well, that one is on the camera, you know? And I think a lot of people get so wrapped up in that, like, that trail camera stuff. It's like, take what you're given, you know, and enjoy it, you know?
Like, no. Or just look at it optimistically, like, okay, so I'll wait for that deer, and I might wait all year, but I get to hunt. That's how I used to look at it. Hey, I didn't kill a deer. It's January. I'm still in the woods. It's like, I'm hunting, dude. That's awesome. And then a buddy of mine that I learned some tracking from, an older fella, he's in the last few years, I told him, I said, Tom, I don't really care about killing deer. He said, John, hunting's way better than killing. You know, there's phases you go through, but as you get older, you're just like, you'll see, like Lane's looking at me, like, yeah, right, I want to kill deer. but when you accomplish it, or, you know, maybe fulfill that, you just like being out there, you get older, just like, I don't really need to kill a deer. I just like being out here, you know, and it's like, I'm sure there's people that are just like to get away, even whether they're younger or older, you know, don't have to, maybe just want to get out there. But I think like with new spots and people that are new to hunting, I mean, I think someone asked me, what would you do if you had 4 days, a new piece of public land to hunt or something? I said, I just maybe drive around and hike, waste a whole day, find some fresh sign, and then hunt. Maybe I'd rather hike and scout 2 days and then hunt two, or even 3 days if I had to. And it's all about getting that angle, getting the odds in your favor. You know, if you sit in a spot with low odds and you hope the deer comes through, well, yeah, you got a low chance of seeing them, but get something in your favor, you know, just scout and hike and try this spot. It don't matter. So you want to see what's over the next ridge. Sometimes if you bump one deer one time, it ain't too bad. You know, you can get in there and for a fresh sign or fresh, but keep moving. And get a percentage, like a higher percentage. And I talk about situations where mature deer, like there's one living here and this and that. It's a low percentage area just because maybe the food's everywhere, or there's a lot of cover, or what it may be, or you get an area where there's a concentrated food source. I know he's going to come here, but it's all odds, having a good amount of odds in your favor instead of just hoping, you know. But yeah, if you're new, like you're just trying a new piece of public out, move around, like in the fall, like I said, when the leaves, deer, where they feed, and it's fresh sign is always the best, you know, the most recent like sign you can find, you know. And I think a lot of guys get out and hunt early or whatever, and then say you only got the rut to hunt, you know, and you're going to a new piece of land, and you can see where guys already been parking, see where they're walking, and then just go away from that, you know, find, and then chances are, I've seen it, there's times I've did it when I was jumping from state to state, and I get to a new state, and whether I have a camera or not, there's times I don't care if it's 5 o'clock where people say, or 4 or 5, I want to get in a tree and hunt if you got a spot in mind. But there's times one time I damn near ran through the woods. covered as much ground as I can in like an hour and a half. And I've seen, so, like, I'm running through the woods, seeing where the guy's tree stand is, see where the foot is right after a rain. Like, I learned so much in that hour and a half. And I bump a doe here. I was like, okay, well, she's hanging out there with those acorns. Or, you know, there's no hunters there, you know, and I know guys been pounded. It was a heavy hunted piece of public land. I just can't pretty much, I'd say, run through the woods, put like 2-3 miles on and a few thousand acres, like just, and I just, my brain would soak up what I was seeing, you know, like speed scouting, like, okay, if I was hunt here and I can narrow it down, this is where I want to be because the deer are there now, you know, guys been hunting here. It can really like save a lot of time. I know when I was younger and we would go out of state and me and my buddies were like, we were afraid. Don't go in there. And you were like sneaking. Don't go in too far. You're going to ruin it. You're going to mess it up. And then you hunt for 4 or 5 days and you're like, this sucks. And you go a little further. I should have been over here, you know, but that fresh sign. And if that's, if you want to be successful and you want to get them odds in your favor, find out as much as you can, as short a time as you can, or whatever time you have, you know, that'll prevent you from hoping for that deer to come through, which I don't, I'm sure, like I said, it's but each our own. If you want to hang out and just be out in the woods, watch the leaves fall and take a nap and look at your phone and hope a deer comes through, that's cool too. I'm sure there's times I've done it just like, I just want to get in a tree, like on my buddies, I just want to get in a tree. And it doesn't even, like, literally that's all you want to do. Sometimes it's just get in a tree. I don't care if it isn't a good spot or just a decent spot. I just want to get in a tree. I know me and my buddies say that a lot. You work hard during the week. I just want to get in a tree. I just got to get in a tree. And it's sometimes just to clear your mind and just to sit in a tree. You know, I don't care if I see anything or you see a couple doe, you know what I mean? So.
Well, I used to think so, you know, everybody's got responsibilities and work and all this stuff. So like you get a day that you can hunt, you know, and the wind's wrong or like something. But I would always be like, well, I got to hunt today.
Yeah.
And as I've progressed, you know, I'm like, well, I might go hunt, but I'm not going to hunt like that one spot that I was going to. Like, I'll just go walk through the woods and then see what I can find. And if I don't find anything that looks good, why, I saw 100% more than I would have sitting in that one spot, mm-hmm. you know, and then messing up all the deer. And then if I do find something good, maybe I put it in the bank for the next time. We're like, okay, now I see that spot. But I mean, in years past, like I would have never like went and just kind of basically what you said, just run through a property, blowing it up, and then didn't find what I wanted, get in the truck, drive a half hour to another place, mm-hmm. like right at, you know, and then just, I was just still hunting in and watching the deer feed out. And I'm like, you know, I didn't get opportunity, but I got way more opportunity and way more information than I did. Just saying like, well, I got to be in that tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's why it's so great to talk to guys like you that have a, I don't want to say like a different mindset, but like it's, you are always like project, like being positive. You're like, you know what you say like all the time, like how bad do you want it? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you better have a freak, genie and a lamp in your pocket if you're going to sit there and like every single day, and that's going to be like what you do.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go out there and you're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's where a lot of guys, they get hung up, they get discouraged because they are, well, I hunt every day. Well, where do you hunt? Like, well, I hunt the same place, you know, there's got to be deer there. Like,
yeah, people get hung up on it. I'm like, and I talk about hunting as being the worst thing you could do. Like if you're scouting and you're walking, or like I run through the woods, it's whatever it might be. Take your dog, make some noise. At least a deer can hear you, come and see you. There's like a lot of their senses are being used to comfort them to know you're not a big threat. But when you get in a tree and you sit up in a tree and you don't move, you don't make no sound, and they can't see you, but you might leave off some scent, and it's like a deer will smell you 100 yards away, but he can't, maybe he can see that far. And that really, I think, puts them on edge. And they're really, so I think hunting is the worst thing you do as far as pressuring the deer and making them change and adapt. And because you're acting like that predator, like a wolf or a coyote or something, just hiding. And that's not, you know, you've seen deer on camera living with coyotes and moving. I feel like it's kind of at no threat, but when they start hunting them, you know, it's just like you, it's like that's when a deer is going to turn, shift a gear and be like, whoa. So I think hunting it, like the guys that go to, and like, that's why I have a lot of spots, go to different spots, remove 100 yards. I've seen bucks peg someone in a tree or know that's a bad spot. And I've seen them just go around the tree. Like he might be 80 yards, but still live his life and do that. Just, I've had it happen myself where I had to get down. I'm like, oh, I think he see me put the tree stand. I told Lane a story. 1 year I was in Iowa, I put a stand. I think the deer saw me. And actually, the next day I got in that tree and I'm sitting there and like upwind, I smelled a deer and I think it was that buck. I think he was kind of wanting to travel through the same area, but just kind of went around me because I think he seen me put his stand up, but there was does, it was rut coming in. He was still living there. So I was like, I'm not going to sit here. I got to get down and move. And I seen him that evening, you know, and that's what he, so that hunting is like the worst, like have a lot of spots and be mobile and in a lot of situations. But then it is that like, you know, balance and act where, you know, did I mess up? Did the wind change? Is that buck over there? So a lot of times I won't, if the wind, the thermals change and something happens, I'm like, you know, I feel like my odds drop. I'm not saying I won't see a deer, but if it's already a low odds situation and then your odds drop more, it's like, hell, I'm getting out of here, you know, because I feel like I applied some pressure to them and I let them know that I was here. So I'm moving. I ain't taking another chance. But if it's maybe a high odds situation where you're going to see a lot of deer and maybe the wind shift, but I still got a good, so it's like a balancing act in your head. What do you feel like, you know, and there's been many times that I see the wind shift and I know the deer's coming that way and you stick it out and it's like, I never see a deer. So that wind shifts and it's like, I'm out of here. Unless it's a area that, you know, you got a lot more odds, you know, and that's what it comes down to. What's your chances here? You know, you got to, you know, you don't have so much time to hunt. Do I got a good chance to see? I stick it out. So it's just, like I said, if you make the move, believe it is a good thing to do and live with it. You know, you can't take it back. Don't cry over spilled milk. Like, oh, just keep going.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't have seen anything anyway. So like, yeah. Whatever. Like,
you're right.
You didn't mess it up. But like when you talk about that, like hunting being like the worst thing, like if you put that back into like the survivability or like the human type thing, like if you're walking down the street at night and there's another guy walking along the passes you or something, you're like, okay, there's another guy, you know, whatever. But if you walk by and there's a guy just sitting in the shadows,
yeah,
you're like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the, I mean,
it's the same situation. And I usually use an analogy. Like it was like, if I knocked on your door and I said, hey, there's a serial killer in California. Like, oh, all right. But I said, hey, if like I knock on your door, he's a serial killer in town. You'd be like, oh, shit. So it's like it's right here and it's immediate danger. And like it's the guy walking his dog and has like the guy, the serial killer in California. Like you don't it's no danger to you. That's cool. But it's like, hey, he's here. You're like, whoa. You know, you're going to carry your gun. You're going to lock your doors. You can tell your family you're going to be on total watch because it's just an immediate danger right here happening. And you're going to adjust your lifestyle. Like that's what they do. They're like someone's, you know, they can't see you. And it's so if I see a tree, like in the last year, I hunted a situation in January. I found a stand and a sack. I didn't know it was there. I found a mass of acorns and they were still on the ground in January. And I went in and found the acorns, bumped some deer and actually bumped a buck. And I'm like, oh man. But I'm sure no one hunted there. Probably the last guy. So I ended up hunting there. And I seen a stand. I'm like, like 40 yards from me. I'm like, damn, someone's hunted here. And then I alerted them does. Like, I feel like they've been feeding, or them deer been feeding there maybe through December into January with nobody pressuring them and really kind of let their guard down. But once I entered the woods, it went back into like, oh, no. And I felt like the thermals were dropping down a hill, and I thought, which was a good thing. I didn't think deer were down there. But twice, they smell me. I'm like, what are deer doing? Like I thought for sure where they were bedding, but they went back into hunt like survival mode where I'm like, they knew that stand was there. They probably already knew that guy hunted there maybe during November or October and this and that. And then they kind of let it go, but they didn't ever lost that knowledge of that stand being there. And you know, two nights in a row they were down below me snoring. I'm like, and it was, I said, you know what? It's that stand. I come in here, I bumped them. They knew where I come from or they knew where the parking spot is. And if maybe if I didn't bump them, you know, if I snuck in there, chances are they would have just came through. But I already, like, you can ruin your hunt like that, you know, if you don't really look at everything that's going on. So I was already done before I started. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then my parking spot, I think there was a little bit of thick stuff near there. And I think there's only one place to park. I think the deer started hanging out near the parking spot, you know, and it's like, I'm shut my door, cut my car off. I might as well just get in and leave, 'cause they already know, and they know where that stand's at. Not that it was my stand, but, so yeah, they're just like, whoa, just be really aware of what's going on out there and ask yourself. Like, I asked myself a ton of questions and, you know, try to figure out answers. And that's what it's, I like about it. My brain's always trying to figure out, you know, it's like a great puzzle trying to find these deer, but like a situation like that, it's like, they're already on to me, you know what I mean? And I didn't even have a chance. Like, so, so yeah, Justin, then it's like you said, it was late season. I didn't have many places to hunt. So I just kind of moved around a little bit, but, that's what late season can be tough, you know, but, yeah.
So like you mentioned before, like when you're looking at properties and you're looking at access and stuff like that, you're saying, okay, I'm going to use the human pressure to, you know, direct me into where I need to be, where I think the deer are going to be safe. How do you deal with like that in-season pressure where you get to a spot where you're like, okay, this is going to be a good spot. And then all of a sudden a guy walks in on you, or like now there's a, you know, where you can see guys have been in there, like since you've been in there, like, are you just on to the next one, or
yeah, just still stop. I just, if there's a, like a place he can seam, or like just run a, like a, I call him like a nook or a seam that where he can feel safe. I try to find that and know that that hunter's there. And I kind of like, once I see a hunter, like to me, it's like 80% chance that the deer, like how by hunt I just talked about, like I ruined it like that. It's done. It's over. It's already ruined. Oh, I only hunted it one time. I was like, I know years ago, my buddy said, oh, ain't nobody hunting there. Man, I don't really see no deer. I said, you're hunting there. Oh, I'm not no magician. I just pop myself down and I don't have no scent in that. You know, you got to get in, you got to get scent free, you got to do this and that. But either, yeah, find, I already know in the back of my head where if I know the area well enough, then I can find that seam where he's going to sneak through, and, or like that place he's going to hang out until dark and then move, or just eliminate it and try to find a better, you know, the odds are low, or maybe go to another area. You know, that's why I have a lot of areas in the years of scouting and being in the woods. I got so many areas, and it's why I don't mind helping people. And if I'm hunting with someone, go try this area, you know, like, and then sometimes when you get a bunch of areas, a bunch of good deer, you know, about like if someone, and if people even said to me, your buddy got dead shot, dead deer, you put him on or help, whatever. I'm like, good. Yeah. It's just one less I got to worry about. I got enough of like areas that I got to check. Okay, good. He got one there. Okay, so I don't have to hunt there. I kind of, even when I see other hunters, I narrow down, help me find my spot. But okay, that guy there, that guy's more. And there's times I just went down the road in the morning at daylight, see where the guys were. And if you know, I always say that word, no, K-N-O-W. Like, I know where everybody's at. I know where deer like to be. And I'm just going to go here. Because I feel like if I was a deer and I wanted to get away and there's food and this and that, and we hang out. And sometimes it's a matter of that, but it just comes down to knowing everything you can about the area and just, you know, letting that speak for itself and to help you find your spot. You know, that's enough to help you not even look at sign. Just know where everybody's at, know where the food's at, know where the bedding's at, know where the does, know where the, you know, maybe creeks, water, this and that. Well, I'm going to go check his spot. I feel like guys are here and hitting these cuts, and they may be down in his bottom, and boom, here they are, you know, and it's a fresh spot, being mobile, and you haven't been in there, and you might ruin it or go to another spot. So I think just, and that's what I love, and just spending time out there, like even the last few years, I didn't shoot my bow a lot. I don't just, like, I would not have worried about gear. I just love being in the woods and learning more and more, and, you know, I think that's what helped me having all that time to help me if I want to kill deer. It's like, okay, I know where to go.
It's an interesting take on it, and we'll wrap this up here in just a minute, but, like, the, you know, not killing a deer, you know, like you pointed at Lane, and you're like, oh, man, he just wants to kill stuff, you know.
But man, like, you're crazy.
But, like, that motivation, like... Like, I guess, like, in that sense, like, on, like, a very, very bigger picture, you know, because, yeah, if 160 or whatever comes in front of you, you're going to shoot it, and, you know, maybe that's the ultimate goal, but, like, what keeps you motivated when you're not, like, killing or like when it gets frustrating. Cause I think that that's where, you know, as the season wanes on, you know, it's funny earlier today or yesterday or like whatever, you're like, you know, last year you had, you know, whatever of a season, didn't kill nothing, get to the end of the season. And it was kind of like, you could relax because you're like, it's finally over. Like I've been, and you knew that you gave it your all. And I kind of felt like the same way. You know, I hunted right up, you know, freezing, wind blowing and all that stuff last day. And like, what keeps you going? Cause I think a lot of people are like, you know, well, as soon as it gets late season, it's like, well, you know, it's cold. It's only light out for, you know, seems like 4 hours. So it's like, I'm going to waste a whole day to go hunt and all that stuff. Like what keeps you motivated if it isn't the killing portion?
I think it's me learning. Like I feel like, and I enjoy learning. Like it's a thing, like I have an excavation business and I feel like, you know, that's what I do to make money. And that learning curve is gone. I've done so much. I've done it for 20, 30 years. And there's, your brain always has to keep growing. You know, it's a muscle, like you got to work it. Like if you don't use it, you lose it. I feel like whether what it is, but me being out there and just learning, it's a learning curve that I enjoy, you know, and just, it happens to be in the deer world or whatever. And with their snow is, it always changes from October, November, December, they're transitioning. Maybe it's food or hunting pressure or does, and, you know, daily basis or weekly basis, a deer be here, then there, and just keep learning. It's just, I enjoy that learning curve. And a lot of times that's what it is, me wanting to know more. It's like a wormhole, but it's, I think it's healthy for my brain and, you know, getting exercise and being outside and you know, like I have an excavation business and then I ride in a truck a lot or ride the machine and just, I'm not learning. And it's like, my brain just kind of is like plateaus and there's no, so I think it's just the learning and wanting, that's all it is for me, is just learning more and more and growing your brain and enjoying that and being outside. I love being outside and getting away from people. So it's not so much like a, that's what kind of keeps me going. So it's not like not all the time I have a goal to, I want to get this buck. I mean, there's times where there might be a certain deer that you're after to that be a motivation for you to keep going. And then you're in the high gear learning that animal, you know, but still is derived from learning and growing. But yeah, it's just me wanting to learn more and be out there. So that's what I enjoy doing, you know. And like, I don't shoot my bow as much as I should. I'm going to start doing that. And it's like all these things, like if I have a fraction of time, I run to the woods because that's where I want to learn. That's what I like to do. You know, it's like not learn about saddles and stuff like that. I mean, or like, you know, like gear or, you know, and that's why like I'm on board with Spartan Forge. It's like, that's helped me learn. That's another tool. Like I know there's times, like even I talked to Lee Ellis, he said, I looked at how long I look at my Spartan Forge and it's like hours. I said, I know you just, and I would study maps until I almost have it ingrained in my head. So like when I'm out there, there's a lot of times, even in the dark, I feel like I could just walk to maybe my next camera. I don't even need the map because you just studied it so much. It's almost like you are that deer and you're studying and you know, like I can get to the next camera pretty much without the app or a map, you know, but it's just the learning curve I enjoy that keeps me moving, you know. That's, but teach our own, you know.
So if people have questions for you or anything, like, because you're super helpful, like, and I really appreciate you, yeah, you know, coming on here and, you know, the conversations that we've had. But like, I love like where your like heart is and all this stuff, because you're like, I just want to be in the woods. I want to go out there. I like helping people, you know, and I'd rather you kill them than me, because then I don't got to worry about it.
Yeah.
That's something that you just don't hear from guys that are on big bucks all the time. I feel like, unfortunately, hunting can be like a very selfish sport. And
I feel like where I am, I already know way more than you. Like, not you in general, but the person that I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Because I already know, like, I don't know, I maybe accomplished that. I know everything that's going on there. Like, I'm on to, in the last few years, I found myself in it. Like, even I think the last 3 or 4 years, the deer I shot were all in new spots. I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I already know spots that are good, but I'm chasing that learning curve and learning a new area. So maybe this year I might come back to them spots I already know and just hunt them. But I think just already accomplished that, already learned it. I know that area. I want to go start that learning curve again, go try this area, try that area. So you're like in my dust. Not that you are, but already learned that situation or that hunting area and know it's good and there's a chance you learn that area. I'll go try another area, you know.
All right. Well, I mean, like I say, I really appreciate having you on here and just the conversation all weekend. You know, if people have questions for you or they want to know, like, you know, they hear me talk about Spartan Forge or something, they want to say, yeah, like, hey, is this really legit? Like, can you tell me, like, what? Like, so for you guys, where can people reach out to you? And
yeah, so, Johnny, you want to go first? Or
yeah, I'm just on Instagram, not much social media, you know, the Johnny Stewart. And, you know, if you want to message me and talk deer hunting, I talk to a lot of people trying to help them out. Not always the best, you know, help because there's just so many variables sometimes. But maybe give you some encouragement. I don't know. But, yeah, shoot me a message if you want or whatever. Follow me.
Yeah, and then we're on Instagram, just In the Presence Hunt, and also on YouTube, too. Type In the Presence Hunting. See all our hunts. So.
Well, awesome, guys. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, bud.